Our reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, starting at verse 1. And as so often with readings from the Bible, when you're given them, it starts sort of in the halfway through a thought. It says, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him." And he'd been on the mountainside, and what had he been doing on the mountainside? Well, if you look back, you'll find that we've been going through here all his advice, including his very own prayer, the Beatitudes. It was the Sermon on the Mount. So that's where he was coming from. He'd just been talking to probably thousands of people. And it happened that a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the man was cleansed of his leprosy. And Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." We are now going to sing. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Listen to Derek. Don't try and do things on your own, Ian. Read the order of service.
I'll just pray for Derek now as he starts to speak. So, Father God, we thank you for Derek, for his willingness to step up and share your word. And we just pray a blessing on him as he speaks to us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Before I actually start, it's the first opportunity I've had to say thank you to everybody for your prayers, your concern, your love, your expression of living out the gospel over the last 12 weeks since Wendy had her stroke. It's been absolutely amazing. Not only your prayers and your thoughts and your phone calls, but this amazing meal train set up by Yvonne. Wasn't that amazing? Where you jumped on a train of bringing me food. That made my life so much easier. And I was very, very blessed by your kindness and your concern. So thank you, everybody. And thank you to Ian and Jenny for stepping in and relieving me of what to me is a burden of organizing a service. It's the bit I don't like. But we're going to look at this Matthew reading. It's the first of two healings, in fact. We're going to have a hymn so that we can break away and think about what the first healing has brought to our minds. First of all, I want to say how I'm choosing this. It's not the set reading for today, as Duncan sets out, but I was doing my daily reading way back in June, I think it was, and at the same time, I was trying to fill this spot for a preacher to come and preach to us. And if I was the sort of Christian, I would say, "And God said to me," but I don't sort of use that language. But I definitely had the feeling that I was to fill the slot and I was to preach on this particular reading, which was my reading for the day. So I put my name in the slot and here we are. And first of all, every time I do this sort of thing, I like to start at the beginning and I ask myself questions like, who wrote this? When was it written? Why was it included in the narrative? And it's asking those questions that I came to that title for this, "The Gospel is for All Men Everywhere." All four Gospels are different, as no doubt Bible students among us know, And it's very interesting, if you have a study Bible, to remind yourselves now and again as to why they are different and what is the characters about each gospel. And this gospel was written, the early church thought, by a man called Matthew. And they taught as much, but modern scholars over the years have detected other sources. And it is a gospel, in fact, brought together by an unnamed author. He doesn't name himself at all. But it still carries the name of Matthew because Matthew travelled with Jesus, Matthew the Levi, the tax collector. He was an educated man, so he could write and read, which wasn't that common in those days. And he, we think, actually wrote down some of the sayings and doings of Jesus. And parts of the gospel indicate another source, and they think that is Matthew the tax collector, and his sayings are contained in the gospel, so the gospel retains his name. And it was a gospel written to Jews, because the church at the time was made up primarily of Jews. Jesus lived among Jews, he was a Jew, taught to Jews, and Christianity was a sect of Jews, if you like, in the early days. And the clues in the gospel are that the name that the Jews use for God is not used in Matthew. There's a certain shyness about using the name of God. And his role as the son of David is another clue that this was written mainly for the church comprised mainly of Jews. But there is no doubt at all that in this gospel, even though it's written for Jews, there is a strong thread going through the gospels that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is for all men everywhere. For instance, Matthew 13:38 is the parable of the weeds, where Jesus explains the parable. And he says the field where things are growing, the good crop in the weeds, the field is the world. And he meant the world outside of the Israel as we now know it. So let's look at chapter 8, verse 1, when he came down from the mountainside. As Ian has mentioned, he had been preaching, teaching on the mountainside, but it is a literary device. Remember, this gospel is a collection of the sayings of Jesus. It's written in such a way as to be a narrative. But if you look at the chapter 5, verse 1, it says, he went up on a mountain. And chapter 8, where we are, verse 1, he comes down from the mountain. So it's a literary device to collect the sayings of Jesus, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is interesting. So now we're to expect a new series of things that Jesus did, another section of the gospel, and it's healing. It's a section of various miracles that Jesus did. So then I asked myself the question, why were these two the first ones that Matthew wanted to introduce the healing ministry of Jesus? Why did he choose a leper and a centurion? Okay, and we're going to look at this morning. Throughout the gospel, as I said, Matthew does have this theme going through that the gospel is for all men. It's not to be confined to the Jews alone. And this sort of carries forward from the Old Testament as well. Slowly over the centuries, they made that spiritual journey from Abraham right the way through until the revelation of the nature of God is revealed in Jesus Christ, in his ministry and his life and his death. And let's now look at this first miracle. Leprosy. I don't want to dwell on leprosy. You all know how horrible it is. But it begins with small white spots, apparently. And then there's numbness, no feeling. And I think that is probably where this leper was at that stage. But he'd probably been sent away to live in a colony. He'd been shooed away, if you like, from society, because very slowly his body would now succumb to this terrible disease, drawn out to a very sad and painful ending. So imagine the scene. Jesus has his crowd following him, and as they walk, they're probably discussing what Jesus has been teaching and preaching about, and no doubt arguing amongst themselves, or a crowd of people, all different kinds of people there, and they're following him for many reasons, some just curious, some probably hoping to catch his eye, to get some longed for healing. They knew he was a healer, a miracle worker. And some, of course, not even daring to approach because of their social and physical condition. But just a moment, something's going on. There's shouting at the edge of the crowd. People are saying, "Clear off, go away, you piece of filth. Look out, it's a leper. Stand well clear." The crowds are parting. Gasps of breath. Mothers collecting their children. "Mary, where's Mary? I don't want her going near this man. He's unclean." Notice the word unclean is used often with the sickness of leprosy. Even those close to Jesus are probably raising their hands and saying, "Clear off. It's a terrible thing." But he won't stop. This leper is not going to stop. And alone, ignoring all the hatred, ignoring all the fear, probably because he had the courage to break away from the colony where he lives now, alone because he has no family, he would have been sent away from his family even. And they were, in a way, pleased to think that he was no longer giving them danger, although that must have been a shocking thing to happen within a family. But they were probably content that he was now away from them. There was only one person who didn't move, and that was Jesus. Slowly, the leper approaches him. Everyone falls silent. Even the leper's footfalls could be heard. A few paces from Jesus, he stops. He sinks to his knees. He lifts his ravaged face and looks at Jesus, and he says into the silence, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Everyone is holding their breath. What will Jesus do? What can he do? The skeptics are thinking, "Now we'll see his true colours, and he will be exposed for the fraud and charlatan he really is." Finally, Jesus does move. Not away, but towards the leper. The atmosphere is electric. Now the unthinkable happens. Jesus reaches out and touches him. Again, there is a sharp intake of breath from the crowd, but this time it's not an expression of horror. It's an expression of sheer amazement. And into this situation of wonder and awe, Jesus says, "Yes, I am willing. Be clean." What an amazing story. So full of drama. Let's pause for a while we sing the hymn, "What Means This Eager, Anxious Throng?"